This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Kidney cancer is one of the 10 most common cancers, killing 15,000 Americans a year. One of the challenges is detecting the presence of the cancer. But once identified, there are a variety of treatments available. To discuss the risk factors, detection, and treatment of kidney cancer, we are joined today by the director of the Urologic Oncology and Department and assistant professor of surgery at the UC Health, Dr. Abhinav Sidana. Close enough?
Abhinav Sidana.
Sidana. Dr. Sidana, that's what we're going to do here, and medical oncologist at Tri-Health Cancer Institute, Dr. Edward Crane. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you.
And Dr. Sidana, let's start by just saying, kidney cancer seems in the data to show up much more frequently in men than in women, almost twice, it seems like, from what the data I was able to identify. What are the theories about why that's the case?
So it's possibly related to the risk factor of kidney cancer. So the three most common risk factors and proven risk factors for kidney cancer are tobacco smoking, okay, obesity, and hypertension. So both tobacco smoking and hypertension are more commonly seen in males. So that could be one reason why kidney cancer is more commonly seen in males.
So Dr. Crane, when we talk about hypertension, I mean, obviously with smoking, there is something you can do about it. You can cut it out, although that's easier said than done. But what about hypertension? What can people actually do about that?
Well, that's a great question. I think there are multiple factors that weigh into hypertension. Sometimes salt intake, our activity level, as well as other modifiable risk factors can result in high blood pressure. Additionally, having a good relationship with your primary care physician and making sure that your hypertension is addressed and controlled is also very helpful and a way to modify that risk factor.
Is hypertension, are we talking about the way that it manifests itself is blood pressure? Is that the way to identify it?
Right, Dan. Hypertension is just a fancy way of saying your blood pressure is too high.
Okay.
Exactly.
So salt lifestyle issues are the best.
And it's possible the lifestyle changes which make you predisposed to develop high blood pressure are probably causing kidney cancer too. We don't know that in detail though. And there is some genetic inheritance of the kidney cancer. Is it possible the genes which cause us to develop high blood pressure also cause us to cause kidney cancer? It's certainly possible, but more research is needed to find that relationship.
What are the trend lines? Is there any indication that the frequency of kidney cancer is going up, going down, staying the same? Is there any indication that over time things are changing, Dr. Stone?
It has been going up in the last 16 to 17 years. And the primary reason is that we've been getting more CT scans on people for unrelated reason. So the most common way we find kidney cancer in 2018 is a CT scan is done for an unrelated reason. Patients have belly pain, patients have kidney stone, or patient had some pancreatic disorder, stomach issue. They get CT scan and incidentally a small kidney cancer is found.
So that raises some interesting questions, though, because especially at, say, in the early stages of kidney cancer, how, Dr. Crane, how might a person, are there any indicators that that's a problem, that it might be present, that you ought to be talking to a doctor, or is it just going to be you're talking to a doctor about something else and you get one of these scans for some other reason and it shows up? I mean, that sounds problematic to me.
It is problematic. It is difficult because there isn't a great screening test for kidney cancer. However, if a person was to have an issue with bleeding in the urine, so hematuria, blood in the urine, then that should be brought to the attention of a medical professional for evaluation. Sometimes blood in the urine can be an indication of kidney cancer, although there are lots of other reasons to have blood in the urine, but it should be evaluated. Dr. Sedana may have some other scenarios. Being a surgeon, he will see patients a little bit earlier in their course of treatment than I do as a medical oncologist.
Yeah, I completely agree with Dr. Crane. Blood in urine could be a possible indicator for kidney cancer. But as I was saying, you know, we see most of these kidney cancer in very early stage nowadays, which is good for these patients because at that stage, most of these patients are almost curable. And the incidence of patients who presents with complaints from kidney cancer is only 10%. And when they present with complaints, by that time, it's a little bit more advanced disease requiring more extensive surgery or sometimes even chemotherapy down the line.
Okay. So if it's more advanced, there may be more direct indications that something is going on. So more likely that blood in the urine, more likely that what would be some of the other?
So there are three things which previously when there were no CT scans, kidney cancer used to manifest with. And the three things were blood in urine and pain on your side, pain on the flank, and feeling of having something, a lump in your belly. So those were three things, which we now rarely see because, you know, the imaging detects these cancers at an earlier stage.
In very early stage. Okay. So if there is, through the imaging, identified as a cancer in the kidney, well, first off, does it tend to affect both kidneys or does it affect one kidney but not the other? What's sort of the relationship? You got two kidneys. What's sort of the relationship here?
So most of the kidney cancers which we see in community are solitary kidney cancer. So they have only one tumor in one kidney. But there is a certain set of patients who have inherited kidney cancer, and in those kidney cancers, you'll see multiple tumors in both kidneys. And that incidence of that is only less than 1 to 2% in general population. So most of the time, you'll see one tumor
okay.
in a single kidney. And more often than not, they are small tumors.
Well, I want to talk about what you and Dr. Crane might do in that situation when something's – but we have a caller who's called in, and I want to make sure that we get Tom on the air. So, Tom, what is your question or observation that you have?
Well, my question is my nephew just retired from the fire department, 22 years, and he has polycystic fibrosis. I might have that wrong, but it, reoccurring cysts in his kidneys, and I'm wondering if I've heard on the news that there's a link between his job and this condition, and does polycystic lead to cancer? And I'm sorry, I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, thank you for calling, Tom. Dr. Stone?
So most polycystic kidney disorders are actually inherited disorders. They are not related to job or environmental toxins. There is slightly increased risk of kidney cancer in patients who have polycystic kidney disorders. So it is something which we get through our genes, which puts you at higher risk of having both polycystic kidney disease and kidney cancer.
So you could have the condition that Tom's nephew has, and it doesn't mean necessarily that it's leading to kidney cancer.
Doesn't. It's just slightly higher risk than general population.
Is there treatment for that?
There is treatment for that. The biggest problem with polycystic kidney disease is these patients have decline in their kidney function and they'll end up getting on hemodialysis down the line. Cancer is less of a problem, but when cancer happens, you can remove the kidneys and cure these patients of kidney cancer.
Dr. Crane, if a person, because there's been a scan and a tumor has been identified, What are the options at that point? What are you capable of doing?
Well, the first assessment would be the size of the cancer, whether it appears that it has spread, and determining at that point whether surgery is an option. So I'd be working with a urologist like Dr. Sedana to decide whether moving forward with surgery would be reasonable. And then in regards to the surgery, where Dr. Sedana as a surgeon is more up to date regarding these sort of issues and more aware of those issues, I'll defer to him. But certainly deciding whether part of the kidney could be removed or whether all of the kidney needs to be removed, whether staging scans need to be performed, and that is determined based upon the size of the lesion. If it's a very small lesion and it appears very localized, then you can move forward with surgery. But if it's larger and if there's a situation where you're more concerned that it may have spread, then you would definitely want to do staging scans and perform more systemic therapy rather than just focusing on the kidney.
Okay. If surgery, you are the surgeon, Dr. Sedana.
So if surgery, and so fortunately for the kidney cancer, surgery is curative in most of the circumstances. And with our cancer detection now at smaller, early stages, most of these patients are eligible for something called partial nephrectomy, where we just remove the tumor and spare the kidney involved. Earlier in the past, we were removing the entire kidney to treat these tumors, but now in most of the situations, you could do this, just remove the tumor, spare the kidney, and save these patients off dialysis. The other new advancement which has happened in the last several years is you could do this robotically through tiny pinhole incisions. So earlier we used to do these surgeries, giving patients a big scar, would remove their rib, go to the kidney, remove the tumor. So it was a major surgery. Patient will stay in hospital for 5-6 days. But now there's hardly a situation where you could not do this robotically. And we've also pushed the envelope that we can remove larger and larger tumors without having to take the entire kidney out.
So that really improves a person's chances at recovery, eases the whole recovery process.
And down the line prevents them from having kidney failure. And because you have two kidneys, a lot of these patients have other risk factors for kidney dysfunction. They have blood pressure, they have diabetes, they are fat. So if you remove an entire kidney for a small tumor, and if the second kidney doesn't function as well as it should be, these patients are at risk of getting dialysis. So as a community, especially in urologic oncology, so I'm a little bit more specialized in 2 years of oncology. In urologic oncology community, we have shied away from removing the entire kidney for these tumors now.
You know, for those of us who don't work in your area, calling it robotic surgery sounds a bit scary in the sense that I'd like to know that there was somebody who was actually controlling what's going on and a robot's not just doing this.
Yeah, that's
talk to me a little bit about what that means.
So the robotic surgery is just a platform. So prior to so 20 years ago, we were doing everything open. We would give big incisions to patients, put our hands in, do the surgery that way. It resulted in increased blood loss, bigger incisions, more pain, longer recovery time. Then we transitioned to laparoscopic surgeries where we create these pinpoint holes in the belly and put long metallic instruments through those pinpoint holes and did the surgery. Now, those instruments were like straight sticks. They are not like our wrist, which have maneuverability. They are like straight sticks, right? So it was a little bit challenging to do that. Now, the third generation is robotic surgery, where the robotic instruments have wristed arms. They have more than 100 points of motions. They are magnified 10 times. So you could see things better. You have that maneuverability. And you, as a surgeon, you control the wristed arms sitting on a console.
So there is a surgeon there controlling the robot.
Surgeon controls the robot. Robot doesn't have its mind.
That
It's just a platform.
Feels good to me. So anyway, thank you. Dr. Crane, what about other aspects? A lot of times with cancer, surgery is involved, but then there's going to have to be chemotherapy or other sorts of therapy. Is that the case with kidney cancer as well?
Well, that's a great question. And about 15 years ago or 20 years ago, it was well known that chemotherapy doesn't do a great job against kidney cancer. And so research was definitely initiated, further evaluating the immune system and its role in helping to control kidney cancer. Even 15 years ago, we were using a drug called interleukin-2 quite frequently, which enhanced the immune system globally, caused very severe flu-like symptoms, and caused lots of problems for patients, but was only mildly effective, unfortunately. So as time has moved on, even though we still use interleukin-2 a little bit, our tools have become much more precise. And so we have treatments now that focus on improving the body's ability to detect that cancer is not really supposed to be there. What cancer cells do is promote tolerance between the immune system and itself, so that as the immune system goes by and sees cancer cells, there's an interaction that occurs, and the immune system says, oh, well, this seems to be normal. I'll just keep on my merry way and I won't attack this. So we now have antibodies that not only stimulate the immune system, but also break down that signaling pathway so that the immune system, instead of just wandering past the cancer cells, will identify that those cells aren't supposed to be there and they will attack them. Now, there is ongoing research right now to determine the role of immunotherapy to improve cure rates, but we do know that in the setting of situations where patients do not have curable disease, but could utilize treatments to extend their lives, that this immunotherapy is highly effective at helping patients.
Okay. My understanding is that there is some experimentation with some sort of an implantable artificial kidney. Do you know about this, and does this hold any promise?
So this has been a hot topic of research for several years, like for more than a decade now. And people have made some progress. Researchers at in San Francisco have made some progress, but it's so difficult to create, recapture all those functions in a small organ to be put in a body. You know, the dialysis machine is a big machine. It does the same function as kidney. So recapture everything in a small model and something which the body would not reject and would not react against is really difficult to achieve. So I think it's going to take several years, maybe more than a decade, before we can reach that level where we can even imagine that being done.
So
it's been
there's work
tried.
And there's some hope, but we're a long way.
Yes, we are.
We're a long way. Dr. Crane, in reading your bio, it seemed to me that one of the areas that you have is some real skill in responding to not just the patient, but the families. And this may apply to any cancer. But, you know, when there is someone in the family that has cancer, everybody's affected. And, you know, as a doctor, what's the role there? What's your role?
Well, you're exactly right. It affects the patient, the whole family. And that is as big of a challenge as finding the right treatment, is being able to support a patient and their family in the situation that they're in when they're dealing with a cancer. So fortunately, here at the TriHealth Cancer Institute, we have a great support with psychological support, psychosocial support, psychiatry, supportive care clinic, all of which come together to help patients and their families in those situations. As a physician, you really need to put yourself in the shoes of the patient and their family. You can't really walk in as a drone and convey bad information, not understand the emotional impact that that has. And so it is important to spend time with the patient so that they understand what their situation is, to assess their fears. Sometimes because cancer is such a scary word and cancer treatment sounds like you're not going to have a good quality of life, that all these fears and worries come to mind right away. And it is important to understand what patients may be thinking about and helping them with those fears and helping them to understand what life will be like and that quality of life is important as you move forward with your cancer treatment.
Well, I want to thank both Dr. Sedana and Dr. Crane for being with us today and exploring this whole issue of kidney cancer and what the options are, which are a lot more positive than maybe people might fear.
Thank you for having us here.
Oh, thank you for being here. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. Segment producer is Layla Shukui. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on our website at WVXU.org. I'm Dan Hurley. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.